you what you want to. That bomb's so far, Tick, they gotta move quick right now. They're going for it. The defuse is already happening. Hiko, are you kidding me? He's gonna go for it. They win the round. Hiko picks up a triple and Cloud9 win it. What?
I can dance all day.
Now he got Michael, what a wall! And into the mat! He's in on top three! They've lost three! They've lost four! Into the disaster! They've lost five! Navi! Disintegrating Tong Fu!
I mean, my heart's beating! My heart's beating! My hands are shaking! My hands are shaking!
He's thinking about it! Here it comes!
Man drops down to the
pretty
bottom!
Close.
They're gonna dive in! It was the target!
It's
here! They've exhausted Uzi!
Oh!
Insane on the back! They're trying to get in! Pussyro's taking on the turret! He's gonna go down as well! Insane low! Insane goes down! Now Uzi is
just. Oh my
god! Yes! There's a god!
Are you kidding me?
Let's keep it clean. It's family show.
And here we are for episode 3 of The Center Ring. Coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location, I am Tim. The gentleman across the table is Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
How's it going? I'm well. Thank you.
Excellent. Good to hear. We have episode 3 of, like I said, The Center Ring. You might also hear it called TCR, if you ever heard it called anything, that is. Welcome to the show. If you're new, thank you for joining us again. If you've listened before, we are your professional gaming podcast covering everything of the sorts, whether that be a heavy dosage of Counter-Strike, just because it's a big deal. I've heard people like that game. And talking pro gaming. This is episode 3, like I've mentioned. 3 weeks into doing this, we actually started, even on episode 1, we were like, we're going to try doing this bi-weekly, just because...
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, let's just do it bi-weekly, because, you know, there won't be...
We have lives outside of this. We don't make money doing this, so...
Yeah, it's like, well, we can get together, you know, twice a month, and then we kind of just keep recording.
Yeah, it leaves... If you set the expectations up for bi-weekly, and you get things out weekly like we are now, people are jamming. It maybe buys us extra time for if we are a week behind. But, you know, there's so much happens in esports... That I guess I never realized actually happened before you do a show. But when you do a show, you notice.
You watch stuff that you enjoy and you follow. But when you start talking about everything, you realize, yeah, just how big it is and how much is going on all the time.
So up on the docket today for the show, of course, we will have closing out with the micro, as we always do, kind of a quick hits of news and things around the world of esports there. Big news came down the line. TBS, Turner Broadcasting System, whatever you want to call them, they announced earlier in the week that, I mean, they're going to have their own esports tournaments on television in America, for all you people not listening in America. So that's a big deal. We want to dive into that. There's plenty to talk about there. Apart from maybe challenges that they might face, our hopes and dreams of it, things like that. And some big roster move, and many roster rumors. And we want to talk about that here. And we will fight through it, because I'm not going to lie, I am one tired man today. If it was any other week or any other day in the week, it would already be like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's only like 10:30 in the morning. I got up way too early to do this, but that's fine.
Such is the life of a media mogul.
Yeah, that's what happens. Like I said, when you don't make money doing a lot of this, you just need to do a lot of it, and then it doesn't look as bad. Speaking of these roster moves, if you're living under a rock and you follow esports, I don't know what you were doing this week, because Scream, formerly of G2, which is formerly Kinguin, and we will follow down that rabbit hole here. Scream joins back up with Titan, his former lovers. They've kissed and made up. They've, you know, they were there. It was the French team. Everyone loved them. And then it was an ugly breakup. And now they're back together. And we'll see how long this one lasts.
This actually, I mean, this goes all the way back to 2013. They are one member short of like the old French powerhouse Very games, which everyone kind of knows of back in the day. And they actually won a lot of tournaments as Very Games. So everyone kind of had this nostalgia fit when Scream joined back up.
Yeah, kind of going down to the timeline here, I have it. So in 2013, like you said, Vary Games ended up dropping their team, which eventually all the same guys became Titan. Then Scream, going down Scream's timeline, September around there, 2014, I believe it was around September, he joins Epsilon Gaming. He was on there for a while there. Back in May of this year, 2015, he joins Kinguin, which later became G2 or G2 Kinguin, however, G2 Kinguin, whatever their official name is there. You hear it every which way. And then just recently, in September, I think it was the 23rd, he announced that he is leaving G2 to join back up with Titan. That means he's back there with Shox. Maybe I've just forgotten. Man, when I heard this, I got so excited to see Scream and Shox back together again.
Well, they already showed up. I mean, they played in Stockholm, and both of them showed up and kind of showed, you know, what Titan has in store.
Scream, I guess, flew down there to play in DreamHack Stockholm with them, which...
They had 2 days of practice.
And I don't know if that's a big deal, 2 days of practice. I mean,
there are strategies you have to go with.
And even Scream mentioned in an interview that we have some sound clips for here that we'll play in a little bit. But Scream went over where, you know, they didn't play any when practicing, but they kind of went over verbally, hey, this is kind of what we call this and this shout outs, and this is what we would do in this situation and everything there. So he got a quick rundown of it. But like you said, except for RPK, he's played with everybody on this team before.
Yeah,
so he's not completely lost from their style.
And plus, he's back on a French team. They talked about it before that one of the biggest issues he had with G2 was communication. So now that he's back in his native language, he has that going for him again.
I mean, it's got to feel good to be back in your native language. I'm sure
it's
that will help.
Comfort thing.
Yeah. At least for stress and everything. I mean, if you're playing a little off, I'm sure being in your own language will definitely suffice and everything there.
With Scream joining, obviously Titan had to give up somebody.
Oh, that's right. We haven't even mentioned the...
He actually replaced Maniac, and Maniac released...
Poor Maniac.
Well, he released like a super classy...
Someone give him a hug.
He posted on his Facebook page after the announcement and said that... He said, I used to play autonomously as a lurker mostly and help extends in the tactical choices during the game. Let's face it, he being Scream, is better than me. There's nothing I can say about that. I mean, that's pretty classy for somebody to just be like, all right, yeah, he's, you know, it is what it is. He's better than I am.
And there, I think there's no argument there either, though.
Well, no, absolutely not. I mean,
Titan got exactly what they wanted with this. They replaced Maniac, who isn't bad, but he's no, I mean, Scream, when Scream is on, he is on. I mean, he's a headshot machine when he wants to be. Maniac says he's either going to try and still compete, or he's going to go into the coaching role.
He had literally just quit his full-time job to do Counter-Strike full-time, and then, gets kicked off the team, and I mean, now he's kind of like in limbo.
Very poor timing. Like he has any control over it. Apart from all of this, I want to get into it once we play some of the audio from Scream, because it kind of has some things to do with this. On, I believe it was Monday, whatever day the 23rd was. So there was the announcement of Scream leaving G2 to go to Titan happened down. That came down the line. So everyone was kind of discussing, well, what's going to happen with G2? Who's going to take his spot? Is Maniac just going to jump over there, which you would assume is logical because, you know, leave one team, join the team, kind of like almost like a trade. And then rumors started flying around on Twitter. I saw Anders say, you know, hey, this isn't the only thing going down today. Everyone's kind of wondering what that was. It came out on Fragbite Gaming, that on their website, that Nip basically exploded and Ninjas in Pajamas basically decided to wipe their roster out and move them around, which hasn't happened yet, so don't act like you were correct. I still don't think it's going to happen. Even with this rumor, I don't think it's going to happen. It makes no sense.
For those of you not in the studio with us, I have an incredibly smug look on my face because I said this was going to happen.
And it still makes no sense to me. And so I want to play this audio here before we get way off topic with the Scream thing, because this whole Nip rumor doesn't make any sense. But it's such a specific... Typically when rumors happen, it's not this detailed. And this was extremely detailed that involved like 3 or 4 teams moving players around. So how they just came up with this rumor and announced it as real, I'm assuming they had to have heard it from somebody on the inside somewhere. So I want to get into this rumor. But real quick, here's Scream talking about kind of the bad vibes with G2 and kind of
why
he really didn't hold anything back even after. I mean, he even in Scream's kind of leaving statement said it just wasn't going well. So here's some audio here.
It was pretty personal, actually. Something's happened in the gym and I didn't really like it. And also we didn't act as a team lately. It was like more groups, like Swedish and Fox and myself. Like, you know, because we talk English, they talk Swedish. And I didn't feel the team spirit and everything. It was really bad. So I got offered by Titan and I accepted at the same time, actually.
There's Scream discussing kind of the vibe and everything with Titan that I kind of alluded to before, where a lot of people were saying, and I guess watching Kingwood, I mean, you kind of saw a difference in their play in the last couple of tournaments. But at the same time, I felt like they were also playing really well.
Well, they went out really early in the first tournament after they picked up G2 as a sponsor. Not DreamHack Stockholm, the one before that. I forget.
London?
Yeah, London, yeah.
But anyway, Scream was saying, I guess there's some behind closed doors issues really going on with the team, and they just weren't feeling it is really the best kind of to sum that up. So they weren't feeling it there. And
well, you know, we're kind of like interesting tidbit from the G2 team manager, Jamie Bach. He kind of actually said that even before they picked up G2 as a partner sponsor for the team, that they already identified what he said was identified core issues of the team. And I'm thinking this was probably one of them, like the communication aspect between, like Scream just said, between the Swedish players and the people speaking English on the team, that it just wasn't there.
And it's very hard to build any relationship if there is a language barrier in general. I mean, you have to remember too, this isn't just teammates who are there and then they play and then they go their separate ways. I mean, if you're playing a game, chances are anytime you're on and they're on, even if it's just messing around, you probably want to play with them just to kind of build that relationship.
Yeah, the
and if I mean, chemistry, if yeah. You have half the team speaking a different language and the other half speaking another, it's going to hinder that growth and everything there. So I understand where he was coming from there. It's going to be interesting to see who G2 picks up. Their CEO was kind of just saying they're going to hold tryouts.
Oh, really?
They're yeah.
Open
I mean,
tryouts?
I don't know if they're open. I'm assuming they have some hand picks in mind that they're going to kind of swap through scrimmages and everything like that to see. One of the beautiful things, though, with esports is they could pick someone and play two games with them and then drop them again because there are no hard set contracts or anything there from stopping people from just changing minds. So you have that issue in itself. But to jump back to this NIP rumor that was going down. So after Scream left G2, there was word broke down the line that NIP was releasing Get Right, Freiburg, Alu, and Exist.
Leaving just Forest, right?
Leaving just Forest as part of that core roster with NIP, which to me is insane to drop off four out of the five guys on your team.
I don't know how anyone could part ways with Get Right.
I mean, you're top five team, arguably.
Well, they are a top five
team. So, I mean, how are you going to drop four guys and expect to pick up four new ones and improve?
It would not happen immediately. It would be definitely like a reset, kind of start over. I mean, it's like selling off the roster to get new talent on it, you know, down the line. But
and even here, though, you have some of this part of this rumor is that so they were all leaving NIP. G2, they were going to take from G2. I always say this name wrong. Michaelele, Dennis, and Rain. So they were going to pick up three people from G2. Now, this is the part of the rumor that doesn't make sense to me. So you're a top five team. You're going to drop off four players and pick up three from like a top 15, maybe top 10 team.
Yeah, that's
that makes no sense to me on why you think that's language, nationality, everything aside, why you that would even. And like I said, this is all rumor, so we're talking fluff, but that makes no sense to me.
There is this whole aspect behind Counter-Strike that there are certain players that fill certain roles better than others. But let's face it, at the end of the day, if you take players that can hit their shots and replace him with players that can, that hit their shots less, you're going to have a bad time. I don't think Nip needs to make a change like that. I do think somebody on Nip probably is needs to go, but not a fire sale like the rumor suggests.
Even if you just change, like if in Nip's situation, I feel like maybe if they just change their strategy or their ways of playing. Because, I mean, even just the other day, they took Fnatic in the Gfinity tournament. I mean, they lost to Fnatic, but I mean, that was an amazing game that they took Fnatic, the number one team in the world, on the brink of losing. So it, they still have, I don't see how.
I agree. I think they've got the skill to kind of change it.
Right. I don't think this rumor is going to take place. It's not going to take place anytime soon because very shortly after this was announced, the CEO of Nip basically came out and said, not going to happen. I don't know where this is coming from. But if there is going to be a roster change, it's not going to be till the end of the year. And that seems like a weird thing to put into a...
You know, general manager, like, media talk. Yeah, no, he's totally fine. He's fine. He's, you know, no changes. And then 2 weeks later, he's off the team.
Even then, maybe not 2 weeks later, but why... Why in the same statement that you say, no, nothing's going to happen, we're keeping our guys, but if anything were to happen, it's going to be at the end of the year. What a weird thing to throw into a statement. Just leave it that nothing's going to happen.
Didn't he mention something about their contracts being up or something along that line?
Yeah, that's when it goes up. So I guess that's discussion, but
yeah.
I mean, that's not even part of this rumor here. They were going to leave now, so I don't know why you'd even bring that up.
Right.
Another thing that kind of fueled the fire to this is G2 tweeted out saying that Exist was going to sub in for a match. So he wasn't joining him or anything, but he was going to sub for him, which...
That happens all the time,
though. It happens all the time, but to me it seems odd that a top-ranked team would have someone sub for somebody else that's also top-ranked. I mean, typically you don't get a main core player subbing, I would feel. I don't know. I'm
surprised there's not rules against that with you know, even in... You know, teams' contracts specifically, that there's not rules like, hey, you can't go help out the competition, you know.
I mean, maybe if you're not in that tournament, I don't know. Who knows how those... We discussed it last episode.
There's no major governing body
or any kind of... Every contract is its own, so everything's different. But another team that was thrown into this rumor, which I haven't heard anything from them, I guess they were more so, let's just stay out of it, is Cloud9. So Get Right was rumored to be leaving Nip and join Cloud9, where Sean Garris would step down from being a player and join the coaching ranks. So he would technically leave Cloud9, but stay with them as a coach.
Sean Garris does not need to leave the playing ranks. If Cloud9's replacing anybody, sorry, you know, any offense, they need to drop Freakazoid. He's way too, like, inconsistent. And if you can replace Freakazoid with Get Right, not saying it's going to happen, but if you could.
That's a legit
lineup.
When I read this and before it came down, it all the news broke. And for a while there, everyone thought this was all going to happen. And then it was like later in the day when all the CEOs said, no, it's not, that everyone finally realized, okay, it's just a rumor. But when I first heard this and I thought it was still official, I got so giddy thinking Get Right was joining Cloud9.
You gotta throw on your Cloud9 tank top. Oh my god!
That's just Get Right with Cloud9. That would be insane. Insane. Now, but you want to talk about language barrier? I don't know.
Get Right doesn't need language to get the headshots he gets.
But that's so. I haven't heard anything from Cloud9 saying no, this isn't going to happen. So throughout all this, you've kind of had.
I'm not sure the American teams kind of have the same sort of like team management presence that a lot of the European teams have. I don't think it's quite as serious here.
Yeah. So I think even with, you know, Get Right and Cloud9, we'll see if that happens. We won't really know. And obviously until the end of the year, possibly, according to Nip's CEO. There was one other thing with all these rumors that I wanted to bring up, and now all of a sudden it lost my mind. It will probably come back to me later and we'll bring it up then. But all rumors aside, do have official wording on who is going to DreamHack, however you say it.
The DreamHack major in Cluj.
Cluj.
Cluj. Honestly, it's everybody you would expect to be there. Fnatic, Envious, TSM, Virtus Pro, Na'Vi, G2 Kingwin's going to be there. Don't know who's playing for him, but they'll be there. Nip, Luminosity, kind of a surprise. To me, I mean, I know they're good. I just didn't realize they were already invited to the major. Cloud9, Dignitas, Titan, Mouse Sports, T Team Liquid, and CLG Flipside. And the one that kind of surprised me the most was Vex Gaming. Is going to be your full breakdown of teams at the major.
Vex, formerly known as E-Beetle, but then the whole anti-gambling name made them. That's why they changed their name.
Oh, gotcha.
For those who don't know. So that's formerly known as E-Beetle is Vex. So that's the lineup there. If you didn't catch it, there's not one, not two, but three American teams.
All of them qualified through Stockholm this past weekend.
So that's pretty, I mean, as an American, I pumping your chest a little bit there, right? Considering
the only other country that's got two teams with Vexed and VP is Poland.
Yeah, so I mean, we had the disrespect of not even having a single American team invited. We had to all qualify.
Well, the invites came from the previous major, so I mean, there's kind of
disrespect. Disrespect to the stars, to the stripes, to Sean Garris.
Sean Garris.
Disrespect. And we fought and we struggled.
We're the underdogs.
And we lifted ourselves up, and now we have three teams that will probably all be knocked out before any of it matters, but that doesn't matter because we are there and we're making a statement. So, I mean, good on them. I think I would love to. I would love it and I would hate it at the same time to see. And I haven't even looked at the brackets to see if it's a possibility. And even if it's not, let's just get this going just for the fun of it. Cloud9 and Liquid. I want to see them go at it.
Yeah, I haven't seen a match between them. I haven't seen it live yet, so I'm kind of...
Top American teams. I feel like Liquid has taken over CLG for that number two spot, if we're being real.
In all metrics, they are ranked number two, like by Gosu Gamers.
Yeah. But I feel like they're ranked number two just because Liquid has, for the most part, a newer American team as sense of being competitive. So I think... I should rephrase that. With their new roster.
Yeah.
Since Hiko joining and everything there, they've still been climbing up the ranks. But man, just from watching them, I know they had to go to the loser's bracket and everything to qualify.
Well, that's a consistency thing. They'll play one match really well and then struggle the next. So, I mean, that's kind of how they fell back into the loser bracket at Stockholm.
I would love to see that because even though I think Cloud9 would still come out on top, I think it would at least be interesting. Not to mention seeing the love affair between Hiko and Cloud9. And I remember when he left that team and that was kind of all shady and some trash talking going on. So that's all said. We have DreamHack Cluj going on shortly. I don't know the dates off the top of my head. It's coming up. Look it up. Google. By the time you listen to this show, it will probably already have happened. So,
because they're like every single week.
Right. There's a new tournament every week. And so Google it. We're not here to break the news. We're here to talk about it. New tournaments being announced every day. Also being announced is the TV deal. Turner Broadcasting, TBS. Also under the same umbrella, you have CNN News. That's Turner Broadcasting, Cartoon Network, TNT.
I didn't realize they were... I mean, I knew Cartoon Network and CNN. I didn't realize TNT was part of
the deal,
too. TNT
is part of it. They have a lot of... Their fingers are in a lot of whatever that analogy is.
Just say pies.
Yeah, there whatever. You go. Their fingers are in pies. So they have a lot of outreaches everywhere there. So I'm pumped about that. So basically, if you haven't heard, Turner Broadcasting announced this week that they are partnering up with WME and IMG, which is just
they're two media agencies that handle kind of events and esports.
So they announced that they are going to be having a 2 10-week season annually starting in 2016. So far, not a whole lot of details, if we're being honest. That's all going to be coming out. They've said that it's going to be focusing on Counter-Strike. I would have to assume if Counter-Strike and all this goes well, they'll be showing other things.
They made it sound like Counter-Strike is like the first game they're doing. But yeah, I could see them. Yeah, if it does well, which I have my reservations on.
Yeah,
they
might
expand. So
the history of, and we'll get it. I want to talk about that here too. The history of the attempts of professional gaming on TV have been very bleak, so it doesn't give us much hope. The hope where I have in this, though, details aside, is because it is TBS. So I hope that they give this the same attention, the same care and standards, especially standards that they do their other professional sports, because they broadcast baseball and they broadcast NBA.
According to Richard Lewis, who's the one that actually broke the story, he was in on the meeting as kind of like a, I guess a, he was in like a consultant role to them when they were meeting with all the teams to try and discuss it. And he said that they've got a pretty good idea of what they're doing and need to do, and know that the community will fight back if they don't do stuff the right way.
Right. And because right now in the year 2015, it's a different world than it was, say, 10 years ago, like when they were attempting esports on TV.
When they did CGS, right?
Yeah. They did CGS Championship Gaming Series. If you're not familiar with that, that is in recent memory. Of course, you've had ESPN has showed some things. They had Counter-Strike at least a round or two, and they show more things on ESPN3, like the Dota Invitationals, and they'll show highlights once in a blue moon on Sports Center of some big tournaments. Very, very rarely that will they show them, but I mean, it's there. But in recent memory, I think the Championship Gaming Series is the most recent attempt that they've really tried to hone a league on TV. And that was back in 2007, 2008.
And it was like, when you look at CGS, it's like, this is what the parents of the people who play professional gaming, like, this is what they think of when people actually play professional gaming. I mean, like, they were like, you know, smoke machines and bright lights, girls, like scantily clad girl announcers. They had like the boxing ring, the girl that walks around with like the car to say what.
I remember the show. I remember it. And I remember back in the day, I watched it.
And then the whole format itself was really weird.
So this is what it was. So it started, it was founded in 2007. It folded in 2008 after only two seasons.
I'm surprised it got to a second.
It was, and you know, and I, so I read an article saying for unknown reasons, and I was like, no, there's some pretty
watch an episode.
After you're done listening to the episode, YouTube Championship Gaming Series. We'll
put a link for you in the show notes, so you don't even have to Google it.
Yes. So go to the website, look at the show notes, and you can watch it and see exactly what we're talking about. It was ran by DirecTV at the time. To me, it felt more like a Nintendo game show than a professional gaming league.
Yeah, I mean,
so Counter-Strike was in there, but they would also throw in like FIFA.
As I said, the format was really weird.
Project Gotham Racing.
You had like a team, and then different people on the team played different games, and then it got like a cumulative score.
Yeah, like a cumulative points and everything. It was really, really poorly done, and it was kind of a half-assed attempt to try and get the, I guess, new viewers, but also people who, I don't know what, it's like they didn't have anyone that actually was in on professional gaming producing any of it, because you're right, they had the smoke machines, it felt very game show-like, with the cheesy announcers, and it almost felt like watching it, they were more so poking fun at the professional gamers.
It's exactly what it felt like.
It was like, hey, gamers, you like girls, right? Well, let's throw you some girls. And, oh, look, here's some Mountain Dew and Doritos and, you know, cat ears and everything else. And it's like they tried to throw every stereotype out there, and it just didn't stick. And thank God for it. And I hope with this one.
I mean, per Richard Lewis, and I mean, he Richard will say stuff that the community doesn't like just because he believes it. And I think he's usually pretty honest. And he says this is going to work. They're got the right mindset for it. So
we'll see. And like I said, I think just regular sports. Look at how regular sports are produced now. It's completely different from 2007, and even like the little attempts of, things on like G4 or Tech TV where they had like gaming competition shows. It wasn't ever, I don't think it was ever considered professional, but even then it was very cheesy with lights and smoke machines and, deep, you know, and now we have the blah, blah, blah team. You know, it was very cheesy announcing, and they cheesed it up. And I get it. Even in football and hockey, they have smoke machines. But I feel like on that grand of a scale, it's fine. And don't get me wrong, I love esports. I want it to be on that scale. But when you're not on that scale and you're trying to make it that way, it's very forced and very awkward for everyone. Like, it's hard for me to show my friends, so you, like, hey, man, watch this game and watch this. And then they do that. And it's kind of like,
You've already got something that's not taken completely serious by, like, a big portion of the general public. And then when you add, like, the cheesy elements that stereotype it, everyone just kind of laughs it off. Like, oh, yeah, we're not supposed to take this seriously.
Yeah, when you have players coming into intros throwing up, like, I don't know how to say this without being offensive, but like the Japanese style peace sign where they tilt it sideways and kind of touch it to their cheeks. And it's like, listen, just stop. You're not helping anybody's situation. Just please take it serious.
Yeah.
And that's going to the players. It's going to the broadcasters, to the people calling it. Take it serious. Realize in this situation, being on TBS, which is no joke. It's a big network, and they show big shows. Like I said, I mean, they have sports on there. You need to take it just as serious as any other sport. Still have fun, because, and we've even discussed it off the show before, where you can still be serious in esports and gaming community. I mean, I would say it's a different crowd, to where you can still have fun, but you still need to be serious. You still need to have the same, politically correctness that you would with any other on-air broadcast. I mean, we've seen it where people are online streaming the games, and sometimes the play-by-play guys will get a little too loose.
Yeah, and it's off-putting. Like, you're listening to it.
I mean, they're calling people retarded and everything like that. And it's just kind of like, look, I'm not here to be the PC police. I'm not here to shut down the fun, but I'm also here to reel you back in.
Yeah.
Like, look.
And
swear words and jokes and everything, they don't offend me, but I'm also fully aware that if you want this thing to grow, the general public, even if they don't mind the swearing and everything, is still very uncomfortable with all of that being on their television.
Yeah, and that's like my major concern, or the reason I don't know how well this will do is the crowd that the TV, like, that people watch, like the demographic that watches TV is completely different from the demographic that watches video games. I don't know if they are going to be able to harness any sort of market on television, just because the people that really like the video games are already getting all this content for free on Twitch or YouTube or, you know, streaming wise. So you're not going to have that built-in support that, you know, a show needs to kind of succeed long enough to get the new viewers. So I'm not sure.
And I've thought about that too. It's a good point that you make there, because you're right. A lot of people who watch this stuff online probably don't even have cable. And in fact, I know that because I don't have numbers or anything, but I do know a lot of people don't have cable, and they will watch Twitch or anything like that because it's online, it's free.
Well, I mean, you've heard the term cable cutter before. Like, there's a whole new term out there that's like never cable, that will never, ever have cable. Yep. All they will ever do is consume information online.
And so TBS needs to have something up their sleeves. They have to have something they've discussed. And even if it was with Richard Lewis, who I know wants to see this on TV everywhere, I mean, here, England, everywhere, that it can succeed. They need to have something that will set them apart from what they do online. Now, I think, and we've even talked about this, especially like with DreamHack and watching all these tournaments, they're in desperate need of a format. Desperate need. This whole 30-minute breaks of just staring at a screen with some music is brutal to watch a tournament. You'll see people, people watch this all day and it always has 100,000 viewers and blah, blah, blah. And even like ESL and the big finals and majors, they'll break a million viewers. I think Counter-Strike had like 1.3 million viewers for the ESL finals. So, I mean, it can get those numbers and it will sustain for like 6-8 hours a day with that many people watching.
And that's the biggest thing is like this thing that TBS is doing, it will be impossible for them to air something that long. So the format that they come up with is going to be pretty interesting.
They're going to have it to where they'll have to have recaps, previews, commercial breaks. You know, I have no idea how they're going to do it.
Yeah, and when you have like a live sporting event that's being broadcast, you know, NFL, NHL, NBA, whatever, the game itself is, you know, probably only 2 hours long, but it, you know, the whole broadcast ends up taking 30 because of timeouts and TV commercials and stuff like that. And those breaks are built into the game, like TV timeouts. That's something that professional gaming and Counter-Strike specifically doesn't have, because one map can take 40 minutes.
It can take 40 minutes or it could be done really fast. I mean, yeah. If you have a team that just nails it and sweeps them, it could be a very short, I don't know. So I guess that's part of this deal where they have, you know, in Richard Lewis's article, I read that TBS has said they will take a focus on the players, which is very, I like hearing that, because I think as far as the person who's just flipping through the channel and they see that there's a professional gaming on, I think their first thought, if they're not into video games, is this is ridiculous. You know, people sitting on their couch playing video games. And I think the player profiles will do a very good job, or I hope they will do a very good job at showing people that, hey, yes, they're playing video games, and yes, they're doing what your kids are doing or what you think people in college and whatever are doing, but they're really not doing it the same way.
Right.
I don't drive by a soccer field seeing people play soccer and think,
oh, they're wasting time.
They're wasting time. They're playing soccer, and what, like, why would you watch it on TV? This is the field and everything, where it is a completely different level. These people treat the game like it's a professional sport, and they are on a completely different level of play. And I hope these player interviews show that it's not what you think it is. I think it will, but I mean, there's very little details on any of that. They did release some details though, as far as teams and who is going to be on it and how they're going to kind of format it in that sense. So it's like we said earlier, it's 2 10-week seasons plus playoffs and everything like that. So I would assume summer and winter.
Probably.
That seems like the common sense thing to go with.
It's important to note that they specifically said that these teams aren't going to be signed like exclusive contracts, so they can go play other tournaments. But if you're locked, if you have to be in a studio twice a week for 10 weeks or whatever, you know, however often you have to play.
Especially
being in America.
Are they going to do it in studios?
They're setting up a studio in Atlanta for it.
Right, but I don't know if that's going to be for every game, every week.
Oh, you think they'll do like online?
Yeah, I mean, they might do some online matches, and then that's a whole nother issue of technical problems that can extend it. I can't imagine these players are going to be flying in once a week, every other week to do this in America. So who knows? But that's right. They said they're not going to sign players to contracts. They're not going to lock them down. And they are going to work with other tournaments to make sure it doesn't conflict with anything. They're going to speak with ESL, and they're working with Valve already. And I guess they're going to speak with places like DreamHack, you know, these larger tournaments, to make sure that they're not double dipping on weekends. So that way teams can go to both and it doesn't really hurt the integrity or the way things are now, so people can still enjoy everything.
Well, the major tournaments aren't going to be hurt, but, you know, like this Gfinity champion of champions, you know,
that's, they're going to have to figure those out anyways, because we talked about it last week in episode 2, where those pop-up tournaments are kind of a struggle, especially to get the sport just in general legitimized, I think. I mean, if you have a player union, you have all these things, all these contracts that you want to be professional about, but then you have a tournament that's just going to invite people to play for money, and what rules are they going to honor? So those pop-up tournaments, I feel like they have a place, but they also know what they're getting into. And
yeah,
I think that TBS has a better shot at this than any other channel at any other time right now, just given I think they're hitting it at the exact right moment when ESPN is starting to dip its toes into it. Everybody's starting to talk about it more with Twitch. I mean, back in the day, there wasn't a streaming service like Twitch just to get the mass majority of casual gamers into this. I mean, we played competitively throughout college and high school, and there were people that never even knew that you could be a professional gamer.
Yeah.
But that played games. I'm not talking about people who'd never touched a video game and didn't know you could do this for a living. I'm talking about people who played Halo every day, played Counter-Strike every day, and never knew that you could make a living off of this. So I think this will broaden everybody's outlook on it, and I hope not make it gimmicky and everything like that, which I don't think it will. I think TBS and the powers that be,
they probably have their head in the right place. I'm pretty sure they do.
Because, I mean, look at all the streams. Look at PGL. Look at the ESL, you know, DreamHack. All those streams, they're not gimmicky. So I think they're going to... The esports community, it's massive and yet so small at the same time when it comes to that. I mean, look at PGL, DreamHack, all those ESL. Those are like the three big ones that I always go back to. All those commentators and everything, they're all the same, the same 10 people that they just kind of rotate through. So I'm sure TBS will be using Anders, and I'm sure you'll see Richard Lewis on there and Thorin, and you'll see the big guys, and which I hope they do. I hope they adopt Dota 2. You'll see guys like Toby 1 and everything there, and it's just that's what people are familiar with, and that's what you need to do. You need to build on what's already there online, and at the same time find a way to bring something to the table that is new, that is going to make people want to sit down. Because look, you already have me as a viewer. I'm already going to watch this. You just need to convince the other people, why would they watch it? Especially for the people who don't have cable, what would make them want to get, you know, what would make them want to go out of their way?
TBS doesn't come on like a general package either, like a normal cable package. You have to get additional channels for it. So, I mean, for a big demographic that already doesn't have cable, they definitely have their work cut out for them to get people on. And like you said, they've really got to offer something unique and interesting.
Yep. And maybe their standards aren't even set that high, to be honest. I mean, maybe they're going in here knowing that that's going to be a struggle. And brought up the fact that, like, and this is what people always bring up. And like I said, obviously I'm doing this show because I love esports and I want them to succeed, but I'm also a realist. Yes. Counter-Strike is hitting 1.3 million viewers for a big tournament. League is getting over 1 million viewers for a tournament. That is worldwide though. Worldwide.
Yeah.
This TBS thing is
just America.
Just America, maybe, you know, sporadically placed in other places, but for the most part it's just America. We're not talking worldwide. We're not talking about it being on your computer where you can just pick it up and leave it, and then if you have to go anywhere, pull it up on your phone. All that fun stuff that, you know, you can do with a computer where a lot of it is downtime with these tournaments. There's a lot of downtime. So I just, at the same time, my hopes are high, but my expectations are low.
That's such a productive way to live life.
That's how I go on life. My life's motto is
hope
for the best, but expect the worst.
Let's do this micro.
All right, so let's go to the micro here. Some good stuff, actually, for the micro today. Let me get my notes here. The micro. Oh, so speaking of another league, Activision, the people who make Call of Duty and all those games that, you know, people love there. They are, people have their opinion on Call of Duty. A lot of people think it's ran its course, but apparently
Activision, who makes the game, thinks differently.
They are not letting it go. It's MLG's baby for now. It's just not going anywhere, and it never will. It will be here forever. Call of Duty is having its own league that is being ran by Activision. Again, not a whole lot of details. Activision sent out an email if you were on their mailing list. It's going to be fall of 2016. It's going to be
This is giving people all sorts of... we'll say that the Call of Duty market probably doesn't overlap so much with the League of Legends market, but anyone that follows esports is giving everybody bad memories of Riot Games because of the whole control aspect.
It's going to be very subjective if the people who make the video game are running the league.
Yeah.
So you have that, and it's also... they come out with a new Call of Duty every 6 months almost. It's like once a year you have a new Call of Duty, and every 6 months a new one's announced.
And yeah,
they have to pump the brakes if they want to do this league that happens once a year in fall, where it's made up of two divisions. One is called the Pro Division, and the other one's called the Challenge, which I'm assuming is just invite and qualifiers.
Right.
So you have all that. Activision is starting that up fall 2016. We'll see how it goes. Again, I don't know if they're trying to take over for all Call of Duty leagues. I don't know if that's their expectations, where they're knocking MLG out, they're knocking other things out of the way so they can be the one provider for Call of Duty tournaments, because I'm sure they'll have some in-game viewing method.
That's only available to Activision. Yes, it's
only available on Activision's website, or if you have Call of Duty, pop in Call of Duty, go to View Live, and bam, have that there.
That's the new features for the next Call of Duty coming out. If they
think of that, I want credit, and I will sue if Activision tries to do it, because that is a genius idea. Yeah, so some in-game viewership there, I don't know. But again, another tournament, another league just to keep track of, that's going to have the same, I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore. It's another tournament.
And in regards to people getting into esports, just a couple days ago, the co-optional podcast that's kind of led by Jesse Cox, he went on a little bit of a rant and kind of, it was almost like a warning to people about getting into the world of esports. He was owning a team for Heroes of the Storm, which is like I would probably say it's one of the smallest professional games out there right now. And it's kind of it's trying to break through.
It's one of those that ESPN.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's more so Blizzard driven by money. There might be some money being pushed into other people's pockets to get that attention.
That was kind of his point with the whole thing, especially with esports, is that all of these people jumped into Heroes of the Storm because they were trying to get some money out of Blizzard for pushing the game, basically. But he kind of went into the whole psychological part of dealing with other owners and stuff like that. I'll have a link in the show notes on pgn.tv so you can watch it. Just kind of a word of caution if you're wanting to get into the business, and especially the ownership portion of it.
I would say I'm not in the business by any means, but I can tell you it's very obvious that there is money being tossed in a lot of directions to make a game look bigger than what it really is.
Right.
All it takes is one big payout tournament to make a game look like it's going to be a successful esport. Like it's like a professional. First game that comes to mind is Smite. For a little bit there, Smite looked like it was going to take off, and it's because there was a rapid, like, tournaments, like back to back to back. It seems like it was like once a week there was Smite tournaments, but it just never got its legs up from under it and really took off. I'm sure there are people out there that play Smite that disagree with me.
I enjoy the game, but I'm not sure if it's competitive. I play it for just to kill some time.
Yeah, so that's one though that comes to mind, where if they have tournaments and some payouts, it's going to look popular for a little bit, but then kind of die off. And I feel like Heroes of the Storm is somewhere in between. I feel like if Heroes of the Storm wasn't backed by Blizzard, it'd be one that would die off. But because it's backed by Blizzard, I feel like it has that push, right. Which there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, look, that's one of the pros of being a major
with League of Legends and Dota 2 in the same space. I don't understand how they expect it to succeed.
For a third MOBA to take over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very good... People, I feel like, Because, I mean, you already kind of have, I feel like, a split between League and Dota. Which one do you play? And which one do you like watching more?
Right.
So I'm throwing a third MOBA in there. I agree. Speaking of MOBAs, ESL 1 New York is coming up very quickly in a week here. If you're listening to this in relevance time of us uploading it, October 3rd, that weekend is when it all starts. The teams are official. They are all announced. You have Team Secret starting this off. Team Secret versus Fnatic. SDEC, and there's a way to say that, is versus Team Fire. Virtus Pro is versus EHOME. And Evil Geniuses, the Americans, versus Vega Squadron, the Russians. So that's going to be very fun to watch. Top teams there. I mean, obviously, Evil Genius won International 15. I think they are, in my books, the favorites. I don't see anyone going there. I was very sad. Cloud9 did not qualify. They just have not been the same, I feel. I feel like back in when it was the International 14, Cloud9 was like in the discussion to be one of the better teams, and then just Sing Sing left, and there seemed to be some team drama. And now you almost, there's such an afterthought in Dota to me, where it's just, they're not even there. They're not even the discussion of being one of the top teams. So,
well, there's
sad day for Cloud9's Dota 2 division.
Cloud9's kind of suffering all the way around, aren't they?
I don't really agree with that. I think Cloud9 is number one in my heart. So there's that. And real quick, because I know we're pushing our time limit of attention of listeners, to kind of package the micro with our last discussion of the TV deal, because it's some audio that I worked really hard on pulling. You sent me this actually this morning, where Colin Cowherd, formerly of ESPN, currently with Fox, ESPN let him go for some walking the line of racial comments of Dominican players in baseball. They let him go. Well, he's kind of known for being a blowhard.
That's the technical term.
That is. And I could say that because I don't think he will ever listen to this. And if he does, give us a retweet. I love you. you can be on the show. But because he's not going to ever listen to this, I can say that I think he is a tool in every meaning of the word. A tool.
I've only seen, this is the first I've heard of him. And
he's made a career. He's made a career out of, I mean, saying, being a shock jock. He says things that he knows. And look, he says it because you get people like us who are going to comment on it and saying that he's an idiot and he's just an old man caught up in his old times and he needs to just kind of get caught up with it. But on his show, The Herd on Fox now, he basically kind of discussed this TBS thing very little and completely.
I wouldn't call it disgust. I mean,
he brought it up and he was completely open-minded by it. He really looked into it. So here's some audio from that that I cut up.
They'll have televised tournaments twice a year that include a 10-week regular season, playoff, and championships.
But when she thinks it's over, Mario Barrios goes, and the bell doesn't what care. He still got 65%.
Oh my God!
When she gets
go, Seager, not like this. What are you standing up for? Why?
Oh my God!
That is now going to be a league. That was the nerd equivalent of banned on the field, Cal Stanford.
It's a huge deal. Like, it's bigger than the Super Bowl in other countries.
Yeah, great. So that was it.
Props to the hot chick co-host, though.
Yeah, so I cut it up a little bit, but basically he threw it to, if you're familiar with that audio, it was back in Evo this year when Woshiga and Agawa, they were playing. And basically, Woshiga, they were playing, and it's like a fighting game, best of two, three, whatever you have, you know how they work. So he won the first round.
Thought it was over.
He stood up, did his little champion walk around the stage, but it wasn't over, and they came back and won. But he got the final laugh because he won the whole tournament anyways. Either way, that was completely taken out of context that Cowherd did that. And then he went, so, and I didn't pull the audio just because it was going to be too long, but he went on to do like a fake post-game thing of him going back to his parents' basement and eating Hot Pockets and where no girl has ever been. And yes, I will give props to the missus that was with him because she was the only one who kind of surprisingly defended esports.
It sounded like she was the only one that did any kind of research beforehand.
I won't go as far as saying she's watched them, but she's gone.
She at least Googled something.
She did something more than Cowherd did because she said it. I mean, it is like, this is, I mean, it gets views. Like I said,
it's big.
It's a big deal. It's here. And I just look, it's the typical sports guy talking about esports. It is a very repeated narrative of get off my lawn.
Basically, yeah.
That's basically what it is. He is the guy where he hears professional gaming, he thinks of esports, and he thinks of people getting together on the weekends, and then that's the level. And it's like, listen, at one point in time, I promise you, at one point in time, someone thought it was crazy when someone said, I want to make money playing baseball. Someone thought it was crazy when you could make a living talking about baseball. Well, now all of that is a reality. So to why people think that esports is such a far-fetched concept is beyond me. I guess I just come into it with a different angle, thinking like times change, things change. Well, this is one of them.
We've kind of grown up with the whole esports thing. So we're, you know, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
But no, I mean, and even to today though, I mean, it is a legitimate competition. And even today you have still people, you know, like I'm thinking like news anchors who probably don't watch a second of a sport throughout the year. And they think the same thing basically about football, about baseball, about hockey, that Cowherd does about esports. You know what I'm saying? It all goes in tiers, basically.
Right.
And you have some news anchors thinking like, so there's people who talk about football? Like, that's ridiculous to them. Just like this is ridiculous to him, and it is an ongoing battle that you're just not going to win. So I say to you, Cowherd, good day, sir. That's all I have for you. So that's it for episode 3 of the Center Ring. Thank you so much for listening. If you stuck around, if you skipped through the episode, thank you still. Again, this is the Center Ring. You can find us on Twitter, actually, at the Center Ring on Twitter. You can find me at Pirate Mushroom, Brandon at
Brand PGN.
You can find our website, PGN. That's Professional Gaming Network. .tv/TCR. That is a /. If you're unfamiliar with what a URL is, check us out. We will try our best. We will put show notes up.
Yes, show notes will be up. It'll have links to all the videos we talked about today.
So that way you're not completely out of the loop if you were. You also have some neat little articles. Once again, look, we don't break the news here at TCR. But we do talk about it. So unless somehow we become best friends with some professional gamers, we're not going to break any news. You're not going to find breaking news there. But you will find discussions of breaking news. So check it out there, pgn.tv. You can also find shows there, everything there. We are on iTunes. We are on
Stitcher.
For Android listeners.
Yep.
We're on website. The everything's there. Check us out. The Center Ring. We will be back. Whenever we're back.